All right, it's a schuss to be back together. Good luck to everybody. First of all, before we begin, just always a very special Hakar Zatov to the Shriers, to Sarit and to Aliza and to the whole Mishpacha for opening up their bias to us. It should be a schuss for the entire Mishpacha for only Simcha and Bracha. And I was thinking about it a few days ago, and this is our first year we're back together in a while. Well, some of us had this chus to be together in Eretz Yisrael. It was very, very special. But since that trip to Eretz Yisrael, since when I had this chus to be in Eretz Yisrael, and some of us had this chus to be in Eretz Yisrael, it's really the first time we're together in Chutz Laretz, which is a little bit bittersweet. On one hand, it's always special to be together and to learn Torah together and to grow together and to be mechazik each other. On the other hand, we're not in Eretz Yisrael. I was hoping, always hope, when I got to go to Eretz Yisrael, that that'll be the final time I have to take just a one-way ticket and never come back, you know? My wife told me this last trip. She's like, she'll bring all the kids herself. I don't even have to come back. But, all right, we're back here. And we have to make the most of it and mechazik each other. And I want to try tonight to talk about some of my personal chizik from Eretz Yisrael. And when I was in Eretz Yisrael this trip, it's already 2 weeks ago, but I'm always in Eretz Yisrael, obviously, and each and every one of us, I'm sure, can relate to what I'm about to say. It's just, it's amazing, Hisoris. You feel at home, you feel connected. You feel truly who you're supposed to be. And I was thinking about it this trip and trying to think about what exactly that is. Obviously, listen, we can't capture Eretz Yisrael here, that's for sure. Meaning as far as you don't have the Kaisel Maravi in Woodmere, sorry. You know, you can't just go there to daven. You're like, all right, we have the oil. But Lamaisa, you don't have the Kaisel. And you can't just get on a bus and go to Hebron or Kever Rachel. And we're not in, it's important to understand, and that's important, we're not in Eretz Yisrael. And it doesn't have Kedushas HaMakom here in Chutz Laretz. That being said, are there some aspects of that Kedusha and that Hisoris and that that's so special that we can tap into a little bit more maybe even in America, and feel what we feel there a little bit more here? So let's try it together to understand. You know, there's a medrash on this week's parasha that we just read, Parashas Mishpatim. It's an interesting medrash. The medrash says, Baboker nitna Torah, ube'erev nitna Mishpatim. Baboker nitna Torah, the Torah was given in the morning, ube'erev, and in the evening, nitna Mishpatim. These laws were given in the evening. Now, in the Mishpatim, the laws of this week's parasha, which are a lot of laws of interpersonal relationships, business-oriented, obviously those are all part of the Torah. So first of all, what does it mean, Maboker in the Torah, the Erev in the Mishpatim, as if the Torah and the Mishpatim are two separate things? The 613 mitzvahs in the Torah. What are Torah and what are Mishpatim? Additionally, what does it mean, Maboker in the Torah, that the Torah was given in the morning, ube erev in the mishpatim, and these mishpatim are given in the evening? What does that mean exactly? So I want to share what I feel. I want to share a Torah, a Ramban, that I've learned many times in my life. But I remember, it wasn't this trip, I remember one of the trips to Eretz Yisrael over the last few years, sitting by the Kaisel Maravi, that last time at the Kaisel during that trip. You know that time when you go to the Kaisel before you're going to leave Eretz Yisrael, that last day, maybe that last Ma'ariv, or if you know it's in the afternoon, whenever it might be, whenever you go to say goodbye to the Kaisel, even if you, sometimes we make it a lot of times to the Kaisel, sometimes not too many times, but you always want to end your trip at the Kaisel and say goodbye to that Makom HaMikdash. And I remember it was that final time saying goodbye, and I sat down to learn a little bit, and I opened up this Ramban, and it gave me such chizik, and I want to share it with you. Maybe some of you, it's a very famous Ramban. I'm sure some of you have learned this Ramban before. But I want to give it over in a new light, perhaps. It's a pasuk in Parshas Veschanan. And I know we're in B'Shalach, Mishpatim, Yisro, Mishpatim, Veschanan's all the way in Devarim, but the truth is those are very interconnected, because the Parshas of Yisro, Mishpatim are the Parshas of Kabbalah Satorah. Right, last week was the Aseret Dibros, this week we had Nasav and Ishma. Parshas Veschanan is when we repeat the Aseret Dibros. So it's really very much interconnected. And the pasuk says as follows, Perek Vav in Parshas Veschanan, Pasuk Yud Ches. Ve'asisa ha'yasher v'atov b'enei Hashem. V'asisa hayasher v'atov beinem. You should do what's straight and what's good in the eyes of Hashem, beinei Hashem. L'man yitav lach, so it'll be good to you. V'yorashta esaretz atov asher nishba Hashem l'vsecha. And it seems like that's the prerequisite. Then you will inherit this good land that was sworn to our forefathers that Hashem would give us. In other words, in order to inherit Eretz Yisrael, v'asisa hayasher v'atov. We have to do what's Yosher v'tov, what's straight and good. So maybe. That doesn't just mean physically to inherit Eretz Yisrael. Vad, of course, we're all yearning for Mashiach and hoping that he's going to come very, very soon. It's Matzah Shabbos Kodesh. Where's hope Matzah Shabbos? That's when Mashiach comes. That's why we sing about Aliyah Navi on Matzah Shabbos. Because on Shabbos, Mashiach can't come. Because Shabbos already, we're main Olam Haba. Matzah Shabbos, we sing Eliyahu Navi, we sing Bnei Shlaimer, we sing that Mashiach will come. Bez Hashem Bekarov. But maybe when the pasuk says Vasisa Yashav Atov V'Yorashta Saaretz Atov V'Shenishva Hashem L'Vtecha, it doesn't just mean the physical Eretz Yisrael that we will inherit if we do what's right and what's good, whatever that means, which we're going to understand in a moment. But it might mean even until we're Zoyche to Mamish inherit the physical Eretz Yisrael, it means to inherit the essence of Eretz Yisrael in our lives. To live like an Eretz Yisrael, Dik Yid, wherever we are. Whether we're Zoyche to be an Eretz Yisrael, whether we, for the time being, for whatever reason, have to be in Chutz L'Eretz, have to be in Woodmere, have to be in Cedars, have to be in the Chvesnish Queens, or the city, wherever it might be. For the time being, we're here. Vasisa Yeshutov, Yerash Tzor, Zatoiva. Maybe if you Vasisa Yeshutov, you're Zoyche to inherit the essence of Eretz Yisrael and live a life of Eretz Yisrael. So what does Vasisa Yeshutov mean? To do what's straight and what's good. What does that exactly mean? Does that mean just follow Torah mitzvahs? So I should say, Vasisa koma shani mitzavcha. You know, do everything I've commanded you. We have Ushmartem, Vasisem, it's mitzvahs Hashem. Like, why this lashon, this interesting lashon, we don't find anywhere, Vasisa yashav atov. You should do what's straight and what's good. So the Ramban famously says as follows. The Ramban explains what these words are talking about. I should have photocopied it for everyone, but you look up this Ramban. I'm just going to read you one piece of the Ramban. The Rabbeinu b'zeh midrash yafa amru. Our rabbis teach us this is a very beautiful teaching. Zupshara ulifnim mishuras hadin. Vasiser yashav atov means that we're supposed to figure out our lives and compromise ourselves in the following way, that our actions, our avodah, our everyday lives, and how we talk, and how we walk, and how we do, and how we think, should be above and beyond Shuras Hadin, above and beyond what Hashem commands us to do. Let's just read his words and we'll understand this. V'akavana b'zeh, what is this intention? What does it mean? K'mitchila amar shetishmechu kosa v'edosa v'asher tzibcha. First, Hashem says, you should keep all the laws, all the mitzvot that Hashem gives us, that Hashem commands us. V'ata, now Yomar, now he's telling us, Gam basher lo tzivcha. Also that which I haven't commanded you. Tein dascha, give over your das, give over your thoughts and your mind, la tzos hatova yosher beinav, to always do what's good and what's straight in his eyes, ki u'oev hatova yosher. Because Hashem loves all that's good and straight. And he goes on to explain that basically, Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us many commandments, but it would be impossible for him to go and to guide us every single moment of our lives. And our avodah is to figure out, in every moment of life, even if there's no technical mitzvah to be done at that exact moment, v'lifnei mishuras hadin, go above and beyond the exact mitzvahs, v'asisar yashar atov. Do what's right and good. Meaning, always be doing what you believe Hashem would want you to be doing at that moment. In everything that we do, ask ourselves, what would Hashem want me to be doing at this moment? Am I acting according to the way the Rabbeinu Shalom, the Eibishter, would want me to be acting? V'asisa yashav atov. And then v'yarash tesaret. And then we'll inherit the land. There's so many areas in life that are gray areas. A person could go through their day and be mamish and Eved Hashem. Do every letter of the law, every mitzvah. And think about how much of a day did that take up, right? So I'm going to daven every day. I daven, a young woman, shachrus ha-mincha. Ma'ariv, it's not so posh, forget about ma'ariv for now, right? Shachrus ha-mincha. So I daven shachrus and I daven mincha. I say all my brachas. then I'm supposed to say, how much time? So Shachris, I'm going to daven a very long Shachris. Have a lot of kavan, a lot of time. Let's even say you daven Shachris for, I don't know, 45 minutes. You want to say an hour? We'll say an hour even. And don't worry. Don't start thinking to yourself, you haven't davened an hour of Shachris since Yom Kippur. But don't worry. Let's suggest an hour. Mincha, let's say a 15-minute mincha. You make all your brachas, 100 brachas a day, and with kavana, instead of 3 seconds long, 15 seconds long. But you say all your brachas a day, how much time does it take altogether? 10 minutes of your day of brachas, how much could it be? It's hour 25. On a regular day, I'm not talking about on a regular day, not a Shabbos, a regular mundane day, I'm in college, I'm in work, I'm hanging out with my friends, outside of, let's say, my davening and my brachas. And okay, I did a few acts of chesed today also. Wait a minute, I did a few acts of chesed. I went and my mother asked me to go pick something up and I went, that's another 15-20 minutes. You add it all up. What? I figured out letter of the law and I did zero mamish. I did introspection cheshbon and nefesh today. Not one of it I could think of. Baruch Hashem, bas Torah shein kamo. But ultimately, 2 hours of my day were the mitzvahs of Hashem. Let's just say that's a lot even. So now I was up today. What were you up? Okay, you got a good night's sleep. You slept 8 hours last night, right? So I was up today 16 hours. I was up 16 hours. 2 of the hours, mamish letter of the law mitzvahs. What did I do the rest of the day? Now, I might have done, not that I did anything wrong. I was in class and I was doing work and I was hanging out with my friends. But within all of that, maybe this is Vasisa Yashivat Tov. There's a way to conduct myself throughout the day the way the Eibishter would want me to. The way the Rabban Shalom will want me to in everything that I do. To think about the Rabban Shalom throughout my day. To think about even. How would Hashem want me to be living my life today? Do we even think like that? Meaning, yes, we think in terms of what I have to do today as far as the mitzvahs of the Torah. Yes, we think about my davening and my brachos and my whatever the mitzvah and dressing, like a tzenuah and whatever it might be that the Rabban Shalom asks me to do. That vada, I'm thinking like that. But am I thinking about throughout the day, what does the Rabban Shalom want me to be doing throughout the day? Vasisa Yashiva Tov. Right now, yeah, I'm in class. The Rabban Shalom wants me to be conducting myself in a way as a tznua even in class and with midos tovos and whatever it is. I'm even being an Eved Hashem in this class. I'm even being an Eved Hashem when I hang out with my friends. Basically, I go Malav Malkul with my friends after Shir. We go out to pizza, we're hanging out, but in a certain way, but I know I'm the way the Rabban Shalom would want me to. Vasisa Yashiva Tov. But at least to think about that, to think like that. V'yirashtas aretz. You know, I really feel this way always when I'm in Eretz Yisrael. One of the most beautiful things about being in Eretz Yisrael is not even being in Eretz Yisrael, is spending time with the tzaddikim in Eretz Yisrael. And when I say tzaddikim in Eretz Yisrael, I'm not talking about Reb Chaim Knievsky and Chveis Nisht, Rav Nevensol, which are tremendous tzaddikim. I'm talking the regular tzaddik and tzaddikis living in Eretz Yisrael. He's not a rabbi, you spend time at people's homes, you spend time for Shabbos meals, you spend time talking to the people you know that live in Eretz Yisrael. And it's a different type of a person. There's something so, you just pick it up in a moment. You know, Rabbein Shalom's on their mind and in their hearts. They think about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they think about living their life according to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're giving that over to their children. You feel it in the homes, you feel it in their apartments. You go and you spend time by Chveis Nisht, some old friend of yours that lives in Ramat Eshkol or whatever it is, whether her husband's working, her husband's not learning, whatever's going on, but there's a different feeling of a Yid living in Eretz Yisrael, where it's not just Eretz Yisrael, it's that the Rabban Shalom's on my mind. Vasisa Yashiva Tov is on my mind. V'yirashtas aretz. That we have to live such a life. We have to live such a life where HaKadosh Baruch Hu's on my mind in everything that I do, always. You know, there's a famous Gemara that you all have learned at some point. I don't know necessarily inside, but I mean, you've all heard this Gemara. The Gemara is in Shabbos, Daf Lamed Aleph. I want to give a different twist on this Gemara. The Gemara says, Shuv Maisa Benachriacha. There was another story by a certain non-Jew, a certain guy. Shabalif Ne Shama, he came to Shama, Amar Le, Girani Amenashutam, Deni Kolator Kula, Kishane Omid Al Regal Achas, right? You all know the Gemara, right? This guy came to Shammai and says, could you turn me into a ger, turn me into a convert, while you teach me all of Torah while I stand on one foot? Dachbo, ba'amas ha'binyan shebiyado. So he pushed him off with some pillar of the building. He pushed him away. Shammai didn't want to deal with him. This is not someone for me. You want to be a ger? Bad if you shemistik. Not shtamdeni kol Torah regel achas. You obviously you're not too serious. You're not too serious. Get out of here. Bal of Nehillel. They came to Hillel. Gairi says, convert me. Amr lo. So what does he say to him? And listen to the words. Because often the story is told over and you've heard it, but not the exact words of the Gemara. And he says as follows, Dal chas ne, what you hate for yourself, l'chaver chalo savid, to your friends you shouldn't do. Zui kol haTorah kula, that's the entire Torah. V'idach pirusha, and the rest is commentary. Zil gomar, go and learn it. So most of us understand that Gemara, Pashup Shat, is basically the flip side of a haftarecha kamocha. That's how we've been taught. We've heard this Gemara before. That's Pashup Shat in this Gemara. And we could talk about that if we wanted. And really is one in the same in a certain sense in what we're about to say, but that's a deeper idea. But listen to the Maggid of Mezrich. Rav Dov Ber, the Maggid of Mezrich was one of the biggest Talmidim in Baal Shem. And the Maggid of Mezrich says that you learn it like this. Not like we just read it. The Al-Khas Ni L'Chavr Chalosavir. That what you would hate done to yourself, never do to your friend. Listen to how he reads it a little differently. What for you will be bad to connect, l'chavrecha means to connect to Hashem. Anything that you do in your life that's not good in order to connect to Hashem, lo savit, don't do it. Meaning everything we do, there should be with a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything that we do should bring nachas ruach l'Hashem. If not, don't do it. That's all you gotta know. You don't have to know anything else. Okay, now go learn the mitzvahs. But that's it. So some of those are within the mitzvahs of the Torah, the 248 positive mitzvahs, 365 negative mitzvahs, but all the gray areas of life, which is so much of our time, Vasisa Yashavatov. Vasisa Yashavatov. And that's most important in the sense. That's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees you really get it. You know, there's a band, not so big anymore, maybe some of the Chevra knows, Counting Crows, you know Counting Crows, Chevra? Nobody wants to admit to me? Okay, you know, but you won't admit to me. I love the Counting Crows, okay? They once were very big. You know some of their songs, trust me, you know some of their songs. Whether you realize it's Counting Crows or not. Very chill. The music, it's great. But, they had a song, one of their most famous songs, one of their biggest songs. It was a song back when I was in high school. It was like on the radio, like 24/7. Not one of those songs, you know, like that makes it on the radio that at first is the best song in the world, and then after a week, it's like you hate it and you don't want to hear it again because it's just too way overplayed. So the song Mr. Jones. Still, once in a while, you might hear it on the radio. That was like of their biggest song, Mr. Jones. And in that song, they have a line, and they say, "Gray is my favorite color. Gray is my favorite color." And I always thought as follows, you know, when it comes to Avodas Hashem, to the Eibishter, so you have your white areas of life that are clearly mitzvahs, the way we're supposed to serve the Eibishter, and you have your black areas of life, which are the lowest essays and things we're definitely not supposed to be doing. And Baruch Hashem, for the most part, most of us, those are clear. But what about all the gray areas of life, which is so much of our life? Vasisa Yashar Tov, that's the favorite color of the Eibishter. That's where the Eibishter sees, do we really get it? Are we elevating every aspect of our life? And that's what the Rebbeinu Shem wants to see from us. And that's what it is in Eretz Yisrael Dikahid. And that's what we could be Vasisa Yashar Tov here as well, if we live such a life. And that, I believe, is what it means, Baboker in the Torah, the Erev Nitne Mishpatim. And let me explain. We started off with that Medrash. You guys don't know the Counting Crows for real? He's saying the lead singer sang at Jared and Ivanka's chasana, right? So he's sang by a Jewish chasana once upon a time. You'll check it out. Anyways, all right. So what does it mean? Baboker nitna Torah be'erev nitna mishpatim. Baboker nitna Torah be'erev nitna mishpatim. Baboker nitna Torah be'erev nitna mishpatim means as follows. The Torah, which is really a little bit dasar sadibros, perhaps, is what the Medrash means. But really are all those mitzvos that are so clear to us. So clear I'm supposed to be doing. Believing in Hashem, Kiddush Eim, Shabbos Kodesh, keeping kosher, those are baboker. Those, the morning represents clarity when things are very clear. You open up this week's parasha. And this week's parasha, it's just full of mitzvos, which are all ben al mechavero, interpersonal relationships, business. Sadly, so many quote-unquote from Jews lose sight and forget how important that is in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu also. Vasisa Yashar Tov in all that we do. And you have Yidden that might sit and learn and dav and never miss a minyan. And suddenly when it comes to business, they have to be so erlich. Declaring my taxes, it's okay, no one will find out. Shem Yirachim. That too is Vasisa Yashar Tov. That too is what the Eibishter wants from us. It's not even Vasisa Yashar Tov. Because that's Lefnei Mishur Sadin. It's Din itself. The Eibishter wants us to be a broad Jew, meaning in all that we do, I'm an Eved Hashem. Every moment of my life, there's no aspects that I'm not an Eved Hashem, that I'm not thinking about what the Rebbe wants for me. Every single aspect of my life and everything that I do. Be'erev, Erev is evening. Erev is when things are a little less clear, a little dark. Nitne Mishpatim, but the Mishpatim are given as well, meaning it might seem a little foggy sometimes in life. But we have to realize that too is from the Eibishter. That too the Ribbono Shel Olam wants us performing in the same way that we do those mitzvahs that are baboker, that are so clear to us. And we have to take that aspect of those that are Yisrael Degir and understand this in everything that they do. In the way that they talk, in the way that they think, in their everyday lives. And live our lives, Vasisa Yashar Tov, Bnei Hashem. You feel it in Eretz Yisrael, right? I remember years ago, I was brought to Eretz Yisrael once with a Talmud and his father for a family simcha of their family. So they brought me, they wanted me to be there, whatever it was. And we went around, I was there for a few days. It was Yom Kippur time. But we went already, it was a few days before. There was my Talmud's sister was having a bris milah of Yom Kippur. It was very, very beautiful. But we got there a few days earlier, so we went around for a few days to different Mekoymas Kedoshim, to Chevron, and to Kever Rachel, and to Tzadikim. And they have, this family has a driver. This driver, very sweet person. Very, very sweet person, amazing, but not yet from. Not yet Shomer Shabbos, but a very friendly person. Amazing, you know, a lot of fun. You know, his best friends with the family. You know how the drivers are in Eretz Yisrael, everyone has a driver, best friends with the family. So we go around, and everywhere we go, they told me, you take us wherever you want to go, as far as, you know, I was like leading the trip as far as Mekoymas Kedoshim, where we wanted to go, everywhere we went. So you think here, if you were in America, you take an Uber somewhere. So the Uber driver, he goes and he takes you, drops you off. If you want him to wait for you and it's on the clock, he'll wait for you in the car, whatever it is. Here we went, so we went and we took him to Kever Rachel. We took him to Chevron, and we took him to Tzadikim, and everywhere we went, we stopped, and we'd get somewhere. He took the first place already, then he took his yarmulke that he had in his back pocket, he has a yarmulke, and he takes it out, and he puts on his yarmulke, and he comes in with us, he goes into Kever Rachel, and he davens, just like the rest of us. And we go into Chevron, and he comes in, into Marsach Pela, and he's davening, and he wants to meet the Rabbanim, just like we're meeting the Rabbanim, and get brachos, and he's giving tzedakah, and he's mamish, living it. It's just his job to drive us around. He says, but I want to be close to Hashem as well. Das ist Eretz Yisrael Dikiyadin. Where it's in their heart, it's in their soul, it's who they are in a certain sense. So it has to be for us as well. In all that we do, wherever we're going, whether it's in our job, like this guy, it's just his job to drive us around. He could have stayed in the car and listened to some music, been on his phone, whatever he was. No, I want Ruchnius as much. Doesn't matter, it's my job, it's my life, this is a Rabbi Shalom. So he's not yet Orthodox. As far as Shomer Shabbos, he has certain taifas, he'll get there. But he already understands Vasisa Yashar Tov. It's Eretz Yisrael Dikiyad. And we have to be that even while we're in Chutz L'Arts. In everything that we do, in all that we think of. Unfortunately, sadly, we see the opposite is true as well sometimes. I'll tell you a story. I don't know if I ever shared this with this Chevra. It's a story from many, many, many years ago. It still hurts. Not that we're judging anybody, but sometimes I feel bad saying a story but we could learn from it. story goes back at least 17 years, I'd say. I was living in Kew Garden Hills at the time. I was learning in Landers based Medrash. I learned in the Landers Kolav, my smicha from Landers, actually. And I was married. I don't remember if it was my first year married, my second year married. It was very early on in our marriage. I'm going to date myself a little bit here in the sense that we were deciding to buy our first digital camera. Okay? First digital camera. Now you guys don't even know what a digital camera is anymore, because who would buy a digital camera anymore? You have a phone, right? Nobody has cameras anymore. Okay, maybe by the shirts is they have special cameras because they got to take pictures. But the rest of us, you know, we're just taking pictures on our phone. But I was buying my first digital camera. Before that, we had something called film. Okay? You know what I'm talking about? That, you know? Counting crows, you don't know. But film, you know. Okay, fine. So we decided we're going to buy our first digital camera. We're looking in to buy some Canon. The screen was like 1 inch by 1 inch. Like, literally. Probably have it somewhere. I got to find. Like, literally 1 inch by 1 inch. But it was chashev, a digital camera. It was like, you don't have to have film anymore. You upload it to your computer. It was like... So we're deciding on one we're going to buy, myself and my wife, and we decided on a particular camera. So we decided, but I'm trying to find a good price. So I was learning in the Landers based Medrash, Bein Asdarim, they have computers in the library in Landers. So I went to one of the computers, and I went online to look into, to find a good price on this particular camera. So I'm looking around for a few minutes, and I find a website, whatever it was, and the camera there was like $100 cheaper than anywhere else. Everywhere was, let's say, like $280. Here was $180. Like, Gavaldik, awesome. Okay, that's it, finished. So I fill out all, I go to purchase it, and I fill out all information in the credit card and everything. And I press, you know, submit, whatever the last thing, process, whatever it says. And comes on the screen, doesn't say, okay, it's done, you'll receive your order. Comes on the screen, this was December time, it was holiday season. And it comes on the screen that there's a whole thing, your order has been processed, but there's a tremendous amount of internet fraud these days. So we need you to call our customer service just to confirm that it's you and the information is correct. Okay, didn't sound strange, right? No big deal. Thought it was sounded normal, fine. So I, what happened, Becca? No, but this was, you don't understand, like this was like the first time I'm using the internet, you know what I'm saying? It's like, it's 18 years ago. So I thought it made sense. And so I go outside, and I go call up this customer service number. So I call the number. Mom, I actually tell you even more. You know, back in the day, I used a payphone to call. I remember I had a cell phone already. I mean, it was way before smartphones. But back then, when you had a cell phone, right at the years ago, the cell phone plans were all like limited. You had like it wasn't unlimited. You had like 300 minutes for the month. I don't know if you wanted to. Everything was, and it was a 1-800 number. So there was a payphone outside. I went to use the payphone. Fun. So I go outside and I'm on this payphone, calling this customer service. I call and I say, oh, I just ordered this camera. I said I have to call with my information. I give some information. I say, oh, we see your order. Sure, okay. He says, which extra case would you want? I say, extra case? Yeah, it doesn't come with a case. You should have a case. Okay, sure. Well, how much? All the cases were like tremendously expensive. I don't know. The cheapest one was maybe like $75. I said, you know what? I'll do without the case. I'm okay. You know, I don't need a case. Okay, fine. Which extra battery you want? It's always good to have an extra battery. Your battery will run out. You'll be somewhere where you need to be taking pictures. You're going to be very upset. How much are the extra batteries? And the batteries are also like very expensive. $75. I don't know. Whatever it was for a battery. I said, you know what? I'll just take the camera. Okay, but also you're going to need an extra memory card. Because the memory card that comes with the camera is very, very little memory. You can store, 100 pictures. You can need an extra camera. How much is extra memory card? Also, extremely expensive. I say, no. I just want the camera. Just send me the camera. He says, okay. He goes. He's like, as if he's putting information or something. I don't know. Comes back maybe 15, 20 seconds. I'm so sorry. We don't have that camera in stock. So I said to the guy, are you serious? You just kept me on the phone for 10 minutes. Don't pull this on me. This is called a business tactic, which is completely illegal, called bait and switch, where obviously it was clear to me that this company advertises a very cheap price, but they'd only sell you the camera if you'd buy all these extras at very expensive prices to make their money. Otherwise, they would never have sold you the camera. So I said to the guy, let's be real. So you're never going to sell me the camera the whole time. Why'd you keep me on the phone 10 minutes? It's not okay what you're doing. Tell me the Gemara. He says, okay. He's trying to, you know, talking back and forth. He's like, you're right. You caught me. What do you want me to do? And I'm trying to give him a little, you know, back and forth. It's just... And then he says to me, why don't you just go back to the Beis Medrash and learn? I mean, he saw my name's Arya Cohen, but that was it. There was no discussion where I was, what I was. I said, why don't you go back to the Beis Medrash and learn? I says, you're Jewish? He says, yeah, I'm Jewish. And clearly, obviously, understood more. I mean, it was a good guess, I don't know. So I start explaining to him. I figure I could try to give him a little chizuk, you know. And I say, you know, there's one of the Aseret HaDibros, there's Losignov, and the Svarno. So the Svarno explains it's not just kidnapping, it's any type of Geneva. He says, relax. He says to me, I know all this. In fact, I sit and learn in Kol all morning. This is what this guy says to me. I sit and learn in Kol all morning. So I say, you sit and learn in Kol all morning, and you're involved in Geneva all afternoon? Mamish, you can't make this up. There's some more details. He gave me information, even what high school he went to. I don't want to say it, because I don't want anyone to judge that. One of the minors of the high school that we all friends in. And we're talking... So I try to give him more chizik. I say, I don't understand. What type of, who's your Rosh Kailal? I want to talk. We got to, you know, this is not okay. And so he starts laughing at me. So I tried. He wasn't really taking the chizik too much. It didn't seem. He said, and you should know. And I give, don't worry. I give a lot of tzedakah from our earnings. Like, I'm not worried about your tzedakah. There's also something on mitzvah above there, you know. Okay, so we're talking to and then I asked him, so will you sell me the camera now? So he says, no, sorry, I really can't. I'm like, okay, thanks a lot. And I got off the phone. Baboker nitna Torah, be'erev nitna mishpatim. This yid, I have no idea where he is today, but he's sitting and learning. Babo, of course I have to learn Torah. Of course I have to daven. Those are clear. But when it comes to my everyday activities, however I want to live my life, in my midos, in my ben al mechavero, in my life, that's my life, it's my life. Be'erev nitna mishpatim, it's a little less clear. We have to be vasisa yesher atov. We have to be yidden that in everything that we do, we're thinking, what does the Rabbanu Shem want from us? How do we do that? How do we achieve that? So I'll tell you what I think. I want to continue a Torah that I said over last Thursday night. I don't know how many of you listened to that shiur, but I want to develop it a little bit deeper. Two Thursday nights ago, not this past Thursday night. We'll develop it a little deeper here. So the famous Gemara in Shabbos, Peches and Aleph. The Gemara in Shabbos, Peches and Aleph goes through. It's a great Gemara for these days. Amar of Dima Barchama Barchasa. Melamit Shekova Kadosh Baruch Hu Emes Har Kegigis. And the Pasuk V'Yisyasvu B'Tachta Zahar. V'Yisyasvu B'Tachta Zahar. The Pasuk in Yisro says we're standing underneath the mountain. What does it mean we're standing underneath the mountain by our Sinai? Kavlim Hargigigis, that Hashem held a mountain on top of us. Hashem held a mountain on top of us at our Sinai and said, if you accept the Torah, great. If not, that's it, it's over. Very famous Gemara. I'm sure you've heard this before, whether you've heard the words inside or not, but you've all heard this before. So Tosfos asks a very famous question. Kadosh Baruch Hu held a mountain on top of us and said, and was forcing us to accept the Torah. Why do you have to force us to accept the Torah? We already said Nasav and Ishma. Tosfos asks, V'avvi shekvar hikdima Nasav and Ishma. We already said Nasav and Ishma. Why now are we being forced to accept the Torah? Why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu holding this mountain on top of us? So Tosfos has his answer, and there's a lot to discuss and a lot of famous ideas on this. But I want to share an idea for each and every one of us that I think is the answer of how we can live our lives according to Vasisa Yoshevatov. What was Nasav and Ishma? What was Nasav and Ishma? We're going to keep Kol HaTorah, which we said on our own volition, we said on our own accord, we said Nasav and Ishma on our own. Telling Kodesh Baruch Hu, I want to keep your Torah. Nasav and Ishma was after every single Jew that was there, went through Eser Makos, Dam, Svardei, Akinim, Arav, Damish, went through Nisim Gluyim, we saw hail with fire falling from the sky. And then we saw Kriyas Yamsuf, we're at a sea and it splits and we're walking through. We're at our Sinai and we're hearing lightning and seeing thunder. We're seeing Kadosh Baruch Hu Gila Shekhinah like we've never before. And we see all that Hashem did for us. Nasav and Ishma. Hashem says, you want the Torah? Of course. How can I say no to the Ribbono Shel Olam that I with my own eyes are seeing is real, is emes? Anything you give me, I'll take it. We in a certain sense, during that time, saw the beauty of the Ribbono Shel Olam, the greatness of the Ribbono Shel Olam, was falling in love with the Ribbono Shel Olam. We were given so much ava from the Ribbono Shel Olam. Times were awesome those days. Times were amazing those days. It was a great time between us and Ribbono Shel Olam. All we see Ribbono Shel Olam doing for us. And we accepted the Torah, Nasav and Ishma. The Baal HaTurim and Parshas Yisro explained that Torah that we accepted, that was in a certain sense the Shtar Kedushin, the document of engagement. That represented engagement. Engagement is, I find a guy finds a girl, we spend a lot of time with each other, we date, we have a good time, we click, we have similar goals and aspirations in life, and we decide we want to move on to the next stage of life. But the emes is engagement is only the first step of a marriage, right? There's a second step in a marriage, and that's the marriage itself. The marriage is the ultimate commitment. The marriage is through thick and thin. The marriage is where I stand in the chuppah and I say, I'm going to be by your side through everything, no matter what. And we're going to get through everything together. Through the good times and the more difficult times. We're going to stick by each other's sides. That's already a much higher level. Engagement is all fun and games. It's nice, great. Like, yeah, let's spend the rest of our life together. Marriage is mamish, we're there. Marriage is, no matter what, we're going to sacrifice for each other. We're going to care for each other. Sometimes it's harder to commit to that point. You know, I deal with a lot of guys who have a hard time with that sometimes. To really look in the mirror and realize, until now, you're a single guy, and your life is just enjoyable and fun, and it's all fun and games, and now I'm going to have to start the chvestish. I'm going to, you know, when I get dressed in the morning, I'm going to take my clothing and put it in a hamper, otherwise can't just drop it on the ground anymore. And I might have to miss some big games that I like to watch so I can spend time with my wife and one day with my children. And maybe my wife needs the car to go somewhere one night, so I'm not going to be able to get to the Beis Medrash to learn my Chavrusa. And things start to become... There's sacrifice involved. There's real sacrifice involved. And that's deep commitment. Deep commitment where I realize I want to spend the rest of my life with this person. I'm going to, and I'm going to constantly be mevatel myself for my wife, which is something so special. But it takes a tremendous amount of ava, a tremendous amount of care and dedication. So when it comes to the Ribbono Shel Olam, the first step comes Nasav and Ishma. We're one with Hashem. We're loving it. Everything's going great. 10 makos, Kriyas Yamsuf, lightning and thunder. I say, God, I want this. Yeah, let's be in a relationship together. But did we know that we're going to stick by the Ribbono Shel Olam through thick and thin? The Ribbono Shel Olam held the mountain on top of us. The Haflah says that mountain was the chuppah. And the forcing to accept the Torah wasn't forcing in that sense. It meant in a certain way that even in the most difficult of times, where maybe sometimes you'd want to run away, no, we're sticking with each other. I'm by your side. In the best of times, but even when it's a little more difficult. In the times that are so clear, and the times that are a little confusing. We're there. And we're going to commit. And we're going to marry the Ribbono Shel Olam, not just be engaged to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Sometimes I see often Talmidim, Talmidot, and they go to Eretz Yisrael, and while they're in Eretz Yisrael learning, I'm talking in seminary, in yeshiva, They look like they're doing amazing. They're one with Hashem. They're davening and they're dressing in a particular way as a ben or bas Torah. And like life is mamish one with Hashem. It looks like, it appears like. And those same individuals, those same young men, young women, they finish their first year. If they stay a second year, whatever, they come back. And after they come back to Chutzlar, 6 weeks, 6 months later, 8 months later, a year later, suddenly you see so much of how they looked and what they were doing fade away. And by a year after, they're basically the same person before they even went on that plane. What happened? Those are Yidden that, while they were there, it wasn't fake while they were there. But they only got to engagement, they never got to marriage. It was all beautiful and wonderful. In Eretz, it's all beautiful, it's wonderful, it's easy. I feel the love, I feel the connection. So, wow, we were in engagement, and it was great. But you come back, and things are a little more difficult. You come back, and you don't have that feeling of constant awareness that Eretz Yisrael gives one. So if we haven't reached that level of commitment with the Rabboni Shalom, through thick and thin with the Rabboni Shalom, the marriage with the Rabboni Shalom, the chuppah with the Rabboni Shalom, we never hit that point. So it's easy to fade away. It's much easier to break an engagement than to break a marriage. Much easier. I have to be one with Hashem, it has to be a commitment that's so strong, and then I'll live a life of Asiso Yashar Vatov. And then I'll live a life, mamish, where in everything that I do, I'm one with Hashem. Because in a deep, beautiful marriage, a husband shouldn't stop thinking about their wife for 1 second. Even while they're in the office. Even while they're traveling. Wherever they might be, my wife is on my mind. What I could do for her. How I can make her happy. What more I could sacrifice for her. Achas kama kama with the Rabbanu Shalom. Wherever we are, v'asiso yashar atov. If I hit that level of marriage with the Rabbanu Shalom. Some want the easy way out. They want just the enjoyable times. They want the fireworks. They want just the engagement without the marriage. You know, one time, there was a person, he lost his wallet. A person lost his wallet, and he's looking for his wallet, and he's looking outside. He thought he dropped it outside. Another person walks by and sees him looking. He says, "What do you do? What happened? I lost my wallet. I'm looking for my wallet." He says, "Do you remember the last time you had it? Where you?" "Oh yeah, about 2 blocks away." "So you, last time you know you had it was 2 blocks away, why are you looking over here?" He says, "Because over here there's a lot of lights and I could see very clearly, it's very easy to look. Over there it's very dark." You fool. Just because it's easy doesn't mean that's where you're going to find it. Sometimes it's a little more difficult. Sometimes it's a little harder. Sometimes it's not so clear. But that's where the Rabboni Shalom, that's the gray areas. That's gray is my favorite color, that's where the Rabboni Shalom wants us to be. To show HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'asisa Yashar HaTov. B'nei Hashem. And that's via Rash Tres Aretz. That's when we'll inherit Eretz Yisrael, Bez Hashem, Eretz Yisrael itself, but until that point, even when we're in Chutz Aretz, Bez Hashem. It has to be with tremendous amelus, tremendous effort. You know, one time, there was a Rav who had a very important question, and he only wanted to ask Rav Yashiv. It was Erev Shabbos Kodesh. And he came to the house, and the Rebbetzin was there, and the Rebbetzin says he's sitting and learning. He used to learn in Beis Medrash Ohel Sara, a few blocks away from where they lived. The Rebbetzin said, "It's so important, you should go, you could go to my husband, he's sitting and learning." This was early in the afternoon, much, you know, late morning of Erev Shabbos. But it was a long summer day. So the Rebbetzin said to the guy, "You could go, yes, but please do me a favor. Don't disturb his learning. Wait till he looks up from his sefer, till he asks the question. Wait till he looks up from the sefer." So the guy says, "Okay, no problem." He thought he'd stand there by even Rabbi Yosef. Some people would feel the presence right away. Maybe 10 minutes, 50, how long could he wait? He stood next to Rabbi Yosef for 7 hours straight until Rabbi Yosef looked up from the sefer, then from the Gemara he was learning. 7 hours straight of amelus, of effort, on Erev Shabbos Kodesh. Now why am I telling you this? Do I think any of you should ever do that? Not at all. On no level. That's like a malach, of course. Amelus b'toyer on such a level, that's not... But it's the tremendous perseverance. It's tremendous amelus in trying to be one with Hashem always. That's the way Rav Yashiv was able to do it. We don't have to do it in a Gemara, or in a Chumash, or in a Sefer Halacha. We have to do it in our everyday lives. The same amelus, I mean, the same oneness with Hashem in all that we do. The same commitment to our avodas Hashem. Even though sometimes baboker in the Torah, be'erav nitna mishpatim, Even though sometimes there's some areas that are so clear and some areas that are not as clear. Our avoda is to be Eretz Yisrael dekiyev and serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu every single moment. So Be'ez Hashem is Baruch. We should be zoicha, each and every one of us. We should be zoicha to get back to Eretz Yisrael b'karav of those who were there. And V'yirash Nesaretz should be mamish in its real sense with Mashiach. But until that point, each and every one of us should realize that we could learn Kol HaTorah al Ragla Achas. Just don't do anything in your life that the Rabbanu Shalom, that you wouldn't be connecting to the Rabbanu Shalom. And even though some areas are be'erev, are a little more confusing, let's not just get engaged to the Rabbanu Shalom. Let's make sure we're married to the Rabbanu Shalom. In every single moment, Vasisa Yashar HaTov. We'll be zoicha to feel like that Eretz Yisrael Degir while we're still here, until we're zoicha to inherit Eretz Yisrael with Mashiach Zukeinu, and Heir B'Yameinu.